is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1051, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From everybody's back, from Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What's happening? What's happening?
And from Austin, Texas, she's a long-lost author, podcaster, mogul in her own right, Jamie Ivey.
Hey guys, so glad to be back.
So glad. It is, I mean, we didn't know what to do without you guys. It has been, we've been wandering in the wilderness. I feel like the children of Israel, manna from heaven, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I lost it. I lost the metaphor.
And now we've crossed into the land of giants, ready to slay them with Jamie and Derek. Now, we are recording, Cameron. It is your birthday today.
Yes,
we are recording on your birthday.
And it is not only my birthday. It is Michael Scott's birthday and Eva Longoria's birthday.
So, oh, my
God. Now you have a conversation
Steve Carell, Michael Scott.
Michael Scott.
It's on the show. Yeah. It's on The Office.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I have a question for you, and I'm kind of interested in the opinions around the room here. On the birthday, okay, for a while... For a while, like Facebook made it very easy to just be like, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. I see it right there. It's going to write happy birthday right up on the wall and I'm good. You know,
right.
But I feel like people don't use Facebook anymore and no other social media platform has really utilized birthdays like they did.
Right.
So here's the question. When it is either of your guys' birthdays, do you like getting the calls throughout the day? It's like, oh, my old, you know, my cousin's calling me or oh, here's mom or oh, here's my buddy. Or is it just the happy birthday text sufficient? What are you guys looking for when it comes to birthday greetings from people in your life?
I never want the call.
I think a text is just great. Text is just great.
Right.
Okay. Derek?
Although... I like to call my friends on their birthdays, but I text them before and say don't answer because I want to sing on their voicemail and I can't sing. Like I'm literally tone deaf. It's the worst thing you've ever heard, but I just make it really, really funny and fun. And so that's fun for me to do to my friends.
Yeah.
I wonder how the voice to text on that works. Derek, what's your preference on the actual day?
I ain't gonna hold you, bro. You ain't got to do none of that because I feel the pressure to have to text you back. So then on my birthday, I'm texting 150 people. Like, and then I'm getting DMs or whatever. So I wish there could be like somebody needs to create a service where it's like you could text one person or one thing and it shoots thank you to like all the happy birthday texts. Like, or something
Derek,
like
you're
that.
You're so loved. Did you hear what you just said? You're like, I have to text 150 people back that text me happy birthday.
Well, it's probably
I'm
only like
look at you,
it's,
Derek.
It's probably only like 15, but it feels like 150. That's what I'm saying. It's probably only like 15, but it feels like just, you know what? Group text me. Like, I don't have a lot of friends. So, like, I just wish all my friends would like group text me and I could be like, bloop, got you. Thank you.
Done.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Done.
A message or something like, hey, I got all your texts. Thank you. And I post it on Instagram or something. Facebook made it super simple, though. Like, for the boomers, they did their thing for sure.
I mean, it was probably one of Facebook's great, great innovations was getting everyone off the hook for birthdays.
Yeah.
But here's there should be some sort of AI that just interprets when you're getting a birthday text that just automatically replies, thanks, exclamation point. Because that's all that's needed. The exclamation point there is critical, though. I can't remember what other podcast I was listening to. We are in an era where punctuation on text is critical. Like a thanks period almost sounds passive aggressive.
Did
I do? They put a period at the end of this text.
Yeah, right. Listen, I text my kids and my son was like, are you mad at me? I'm like, no, I just was saying thank you. And he's like, sounds like you're mad. I'm like, why? He goes, because there's a period after it. And I was like, wait, what?
For sure.
Like this is
of course.
A thing now.
If you like if
the young
if you text back like a thumbs
you
up,
put a period.
Like, yeah, you're pissed off at him, you know?
But you know what? I also thought about this situation. Y'all have me ruminating on this a little bit. I don't know if it's the text alone. It might be the random like emails I get that's like, hey, it's your birthday. Here's 15% off at Starbucks. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you're getting marketed to as well on your birthday as well. Cause they're, you know, smart. Like Crumble Cookie, it never failed. Crumble Cookie sends you like five different coupons for your birthday. And in like 6 months, it's like, hey, your birthday's 6 months away. Enjoy 15% off a Crumble Cookie. Hey, your birthday's three. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
I thought about this the other day. I was like, I wonder if I could make the entire day like free meals and like free coffee and like all that stuff. You know, that would be a day. Like, let's start out at Denny's and let's just like go around.
Okay,
you
know. Okay.
But I did.
You might get an oil change out of the deal. I'm sure Jiffy Lube.
Just plan it all out. But I didn't do it. But you know what? I did get the best, you know, like the corporate benefit, you know, like birthday present thing ever this weekend. So The Orlando Magic home game against the Miami Heat, bitter rival. It was the last home game before my birthday, closest game to my birthday. They're on a road trip right now. And so they knew it was my birthday coming up. And so I arrived to the game and they came up to me and said, we know it's your birthday. And for your birthday, we want to give you the owner's seats. Like on the bench. And so so they did this last year too, the ones at midcourt, but these are the ones like on the end of the bench. So me and Cohen were sitting with the players and the Magic won in overtime. So literally we're like with the players in overtime, this crazy game over the Heat, which was like, you know, they were at full strength and Heat fans were the worst. It was great. It was the best birthday gift ever from a company. So thank you to the Magic.
Dang, why are Heat fans the worst? Hold on, wait a minute. Why did you say Heat fans?
Dude. Okay. New York fans and Boston fans are up there, but Heat fans, they talk a lot. They just talk a lot. They're just like, you know, it's just, you know, okay. I don't know. They're cocky. Well,
I know it sounds like an amazing, amazing gift, but I do know that you may have a 15% off free air filter check.
A Jiffy Lube.
Also, yeah, Jiffy Lube. They're, you know, Big Al's mufflers. You got that little guy with the Tommy gun on the sign. Come on in. I don't know why we have a gangster as our logo, but it's your birthday. And we're going to take a look at that air filter. And if you need a new one, you can go ahead.
This show's not, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 15th, the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March, just so everybody knows. This is coming out on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So I've always had a weird birthday because, like, you know, when you're a kid, you have to bring cupcakes into school and stuff like that. You know, the only cupcakes that are available on my birthday are green shamrock cupcakes, you know? So, like, kids growing up always thought I was Irish. Like, I was like, I'd always come in with like Irish cupcakes, you know what I mean? So I've always had a weird birthday. And I have a name, Cameron. So they think Cameron is like an Irish name. And yeah. So
yeah,
I've had a weird relationship with St. Patrick's Day my whole life. But anyway.
You should just lean into it. Just claim it. Just claim your truth.
Yeah.
I've had own it.
I'm pretty sure the Irish are used to that. Non-Irish people just announcing that they heard from their grandmother that they're probably Irish. Yeah. And so they've just fully embraced that idea.
Wait, I never got why non-Irish people celebrate St. Patrick's Day and wear green. Why do people, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it a Catholic tradition to wear green today, the St. Patrick's Day? Like, and that Protestants are supposed to wear orange, isn't it?
I've never heard that in my entire life, but that doesn't mean anything. I always thought it was like, put green on or you get pinched. And I don't know who came up with it. I never knew.
I'm not even totally clear on the story of St. Patrick himself. I know there was something involving driving out of snakes, Isn't that what he's known
for? Well, I'm going to tell
you guys.
All I
know is that like in high school, if you didn't have green on, all the girls were like, yeah, but I have green on my underwear and you just can't see them. And then it was like they were just like using it as like this like skanky moment. I was like, that's what I remember St. Patrick's from.
Yeah. You know, okay. Here it is. So Irish Catholics wear green on St. Patrick's Day and Protestants wear orange because of William of Orange, the Protestant king who overthrew the Roman Catholic King James II in the Glorious Revolution. So apparently, if you're a Protestant, which most of us are, you're supposed to wear orange on St. Patrick's Day because you're not Catholic. Just FYI. So
Okay.
Well, this is a sign of goodwill towards mm-hmm. our Catholic brothers and sisters that we're just going to rock the green. Let's, you know, let's all just come to the same page. I know snakes aren't. Does anyone, what's the deal with the snakes? Does anyone know?
Am I the only one? No. All I knew was that people got drunk on St. Patrick's Day. I literally didn't know anything other than
and
that.
And someone turns their water green. Where is that?
Chicago, right? Or Boston?
Is it Boston? Someone turns their water green?
Chicago.
Yeah, like a whole.
It's the Chicago River is green right now. They dye it green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can't be good.
Supposedly, it's fine. It's just, it's like food coloring. It's supposedly, it's totally, yeah, it's like fine. But it's literally like bright green right now. Yeah. St. Patrick.
Yeah. St. Patrick, he banished the snakes.
Yeah, but that's not why they celebrate it. He's credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland, and he was partly responsible for the Christianization of the Anglo-Saxons up there. That's why he's a patron saint of Ireland.
Listen, I believe in missions and spreading the gospel. But I'm saying this, someone comes in and clears out all the snakes for you, you'll believe whatever they're telling you. Then you're just like, all right, man, preach it. You got the snakes out of town. Like, that's good enough, you know?
So they was just living with a bunch of snakes? I'm confused, y'all. I really need help.
Guys, it's a confusing origin. Just wear green and drink a beer and call it a day.
Okay, all right, cool.
Among the legends associated with St. Patrick is that he stood atop an Irish hillside and banished snakes from Ireland, prompting all the serpents to slither away into the sea. So there you go.
Checks out.
Let my people go. He just stands up there and all the snakes go into the sea.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool move. I'm not gonna lie. That's a rad move. I don't know how many saints
anyway.
Pull that one off.
It's lit. I'm with it, bro. I'm with all of it.
And if you are a parent and your child has a birthday this week, just be aware to like buy cupcakes last week or something so they aren't traumatized by only having Shamrock cupcakes their entire childhood at school and their peers think that they're Irish. Okay. All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Anna of the North, one of our favorite artists. She is highlighted in the spring issue of Relevant, which came out this week. Also, Emily, you'll join us and we will be telling you more about the new issue. Michael B. Jordan is on the cover. You might have seen the e-blast in your inbox yesterday telling you all about the new issue. We will tell you a little bit about the behind the scenes of how it all came together coming up later. And we also have your feedback at the end of the show, but stay tuned right now. Emily will join us for Relevant Buzz.
I want to speak in your love language, so can you help me understand it? Whether you want to talk, it does go slow, rush on, you can have it all. I want to speak in your love language, you make it hard, but I can't manage. I want to know what's going on inside your head, so you can teach me. Sinful or religious, hard to tell when you're quiet. When you're quiet, words of affirmation. If that's what you're chasing, I'll do what I can.
You're listening to Zenadelphia. The song is Love Language.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
Please welcome to the show our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown. Hey, Emily.
Hey, y'all.
All right, what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week?
Well, there's some major news happening with Hillsong right now that we really need to talk about.
Good or bad?
Let's just get into it. if that answers your question,
that is so bad. So this is
Yeah. A member of Australia's parliament is accusing the church of misusing millions of funds and breaking a lot of financial laws in Australia. So bad news.
Bad news.
Yeah. The member obtained thousands of documents from an unnamed whistleblower that include credit card statements showing the church earned about $80 million more than they shared with the public. And these documents allegedly include receipts showing current and former Hillsong leaders spending money on things like private jets, luxury trips, fine goods. And really the best way to sum it up is to use the words from the parliament member. The church money was used, quote, to do the kind of shopping that would embarrass a Kardashian.
Wow.
Like what? Like specifically just travel or just like what?
So some of the things that were listed were Brian Houston, who is no longer with the church. He stepped down last year for a separate legal battle, but he was the global pastor. He's been named mostly for private jet money private jets is where a lot of that money went. So, for example, in 1 3-month period, Houston's flights cost $55,000, $52,000, $30,000, $22,000, and $2,000.
And this is tithe money. This is like church money. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Church money. Jesus.
Yeah.
Right, it's not his salary.
And this is like unreported stuff. And they spent it on like luxury goods as well, right? Like church money they bought like.
Right, yeah. There was a couple things. There was a $6,500 Cartier watch, $2,500 Louis Vuitton luggage, another $2,500 watch, a shopping spree for designer clothes on Saks Fifth Avenue, and even my personal favorite, $16,000 for custom skateboards. I do not know how you can spend $16,000 on custom skateboards.
It sounds like, was Kid Leroy the pastor?
Yeah, I know, right? Are they solid gold? Like, literally, like, what in the world?
For $16,000, I hope
thousand
so.
1,000 skateboards. Maybe it was a lot of skateboards, guys. Maybe there was
maybe,
a lot
it,
of them,
maybe it was for a youth group. Youth group. That's what it was for.
Okay, so the whistleblower at Hillsong gave credit card statements and all these documents to a member of parliament. The Australian government is investigating right now. So these are allegations. Did Hillsong respond to the allegations?
They have responded. Very briefly, I'm sure, you know, there's legal things that they're still figuring out. But what they've said so far is that a lot of these figures have been misrepresented. So one of the things one of the people
the
that
custom
was named
skateboard
was,
$15,995, not $16,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Get it right.
That totally clears it up. Yeah.
No, one of the biggest thing that Hillsong addressed was there was a part about Phil Dooley, who is the current global pastor. And his name was also allegedly brought up in these documents. He had spent a little over $100,000 on business class flights. What's interesting about that is he's always claimed to fly economy. So if this all turns out to be true, not only is he purchasing just insane amounts of flights, but he's also lying to the congregation. So yeah. Anyways, the church responded and said that, yeah, like I said, the figures have been misrepresented and part of these fares are being paid by Dooley and I think other leaders personally. And a large portion was reimbursed by a church that he was visiting that isn't related to Hillsong. And their explanation was, you know, Hillsong is a global church, so it's not uncommon for these pastors to be traveling around the world. And that's pretty much all they've said so far. Again, it's still being investigated and reviewed. If it turns out to be true, I'm sure they'll have some more statements to say. I hope so. But yeah, that is that's what's going down at Hillsong.
My Aaron and I talked about this the other day when it came out. And, you know, what I didn't realize about Hillsong until just a couple of years ago is how many congregations or churches they have around the world. That it really is a global church with churches everywhere. And Aaron and I were talking and we were talking about all the stuff and the money and everything. And he knows some people who are not at the main Hillsong, but they're at other congregations around the world. And he was like, man, what really stinks is that the people he knows, they're like faithfully serving this small church that is affiliated with Hillsong. Mm-hmm. It's not massive. They're not flying on global planes. They're not getting all these gifts. And they're just literally doing the work of Jesus, but yet they're at a Hillsong church. So this damages everything that they're doing as well. And so that feels sad to me in this is that they're allegations, so we should say that. Right. But it taints so many people that don't even go to that church or work with these people. Yeah. That's what's hard for me.
Yeah. And Hillsong said, too, that, you know, hey, we said that we had bad governance. That's in the past. This was a guy who's not here anymore. You know, that kind of thing. They definitely have distanced themselves from Brian Houston's regime. But the fact that Phil Dooley, the current new pastor, kind of is also being mentioned in the paperwork that, you know, his what he's saying he's doing and what the paperwork is saying he's doing doesn't quite line up is kind of like air. But he wasn't mentioned in like the luxury shopping type allegations. That was just the Houston's. But yeah, still, it's messy. It's unfortunate.
If only there was, you know, generations of notable preachers and ministries that would have somehow in their actions warned current ministries and churches about the dangers of consumption and spending tithes on luxury items. Maybe people would have learned their lesson before now, but this is the first I've ever heard of something like this happening.
The crazy thing is that it's not a small amount of money. I mean, we're talking about $6,500 watches and junk like that, but the discrepancy that the Australian government is investigating is that they're saying that the church did not report $80 million of tithe money over the course of like 2 years. That's $80 million that, they're going after. So it's not a small thing.
Wow.
And so people, I saw comments and stuff that when we posted this, some of our readers are just like, this is just a bitter parliament member. He hates religion and he's going after the church and all this stuff and his sour grapes and all that. Or this is just media bias. And it's like, regardless, the government's going to, you know, the truth will be found out, you know, I mean, whether or not this is bias or this guy has an axe to grind. I mean, if there's $80 million, the government's going to, you know what I mean? Like whether there's bias or not, like the end result will be the end result.
Hey, that's the thing. If it's bias, okay, whatever. But you saying it's almost like somebody getting caught doing something wrong. It's like the only reason you snitched is because you bitter. It's like, nah. Regardless of whether they snitched because they were bitter or not, $80 million in tithe money is being used on skateboards and jets. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what the reason is. Like, we should be more. And I think that's a big issue that happens with the celebrity church culture, because sometimes we give pastors and rich Christian celebrities passes on this sometimes. I've seen that happen a lot in the black church. You know what I'm saying? The bishop is doing something that he shouldn't be doing. And then everybody's like, well, you know, the bishop would pay people's bills and different things like that. But it's like, yeah, but y'all know he's stealing from the church though. Like, that's not right. So like, no, I'm like, whatever has to happen, let's get to it. I'm with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I also feel bad, Jamie, for what you said earlier about these smaller Hillsong. Like, I literally know a Hillsong plant in Atlanta that had to close their doors because of the stuff that happened with Brian Houston. You know what I'm saying? These were good people. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So it's really sad.
There's a reason why, you know, Jesus is clear that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's easier for, you know, the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. There are temptations that come with that degree of wealth, particularly, you know, when it's tied to ministry, and it's, you know, and to you guys' point, the fallout doesn't just affect the victims, like people who gave money thinking it was going to go to ministry or spreading the gospel or helping people. And it went to $16,000 skateboards or whatever, but it also damages the reputation of other ministries that are trying to be good stewards of people's, you know, generosity, you know.
The love of custom skateboards is the root of all.
I remember that
people. What else you got, Emily? What else you got?
Well, speaking of money, there is an interesting new study we covered that talks about people's spending and saving habits. Before I get into it, I am curious about your thoughts. Who do you think saves more, a nice person or a mean person?
Oh, wow. That's how it's categorized in this?
Saves more.
I would say that a mean person, because I feel like a nice person's always spending money on, you know, being nice, you know? Like, I'll pick up the tab tonight.
And maybe the mean one's like stingy, like I'm going to save all my money for myself.
I'm just making a guess here.
I don't know.
You are correct. A team of researchers.
Okay.
Yeah, they wanted to study that kind of the correlation between personality and spending and saving habits. And they found that if you are mean, you will save more money. And it's because exactly what you said, nice people are just a lot more generous. And they are, they also just value things over money. Like, you know, just agreeableness.
I think of nice people being like conservative and meek and mild. And I think of them being like conservative and like organized and like they have like their house in order and they're responsible and they save their money and they're, you know, like I just, they wear cardigans and they just, you know, like they're Mr. Rogers and they have their savings account. And that's what I think of with nice people. And it, but it's interesting. But Jesse, you're right that the mean people are stingy.
It's the Ebenezer Scrooge thing. You know what I mean? It's the boss in Christmas Vacation. You know, sending out Jelly of the Month Club bonuses. You know, to hoard a little at the. You know, I get that. It seems like a reasonable.
I always pick up the check. Derek never picks up the check. So, and look. That's
a lie. That's a lie.
So basically, Emily, when our kids get to college age and we're like, y'all, we don't have any college money because we're so nice.
Yeah.
But we haven't saved any money for you guys.
Sorry, kids. So we raised you to be nice human beings, but we're broke. Sorry.
I mean, that seems like a good trade-off. You'd rather, you know.
Yeah, we're good humans.
Yeah.
We're just broke. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want nice parents or you want rich parents? Come on.
You can make up that wealth some point. Just go into the high-end skateboard business. I heard the margins are crazy. Yeah.
If you make custom skateboards, pastors will eat them up. They will pay mark top dollar.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Pastors don't even know what they're supposed to cost. You could charge anything. They'll pay it.
Yeah.
Is $16,000 a good price for this custom skateboard? Yes, Pastor Brian. Ryan, you could, that's a good deal. It's normally $20,000. I'll give it to you just for $16,000.
That is, but come on, but I'm going to keep it real. Even if we went back to that, like, we kind of knew though, right? we kind of felt like this not a surprise. Are y'all surprised? Maybe it's just my cynical. I guess that's why I save money because I am pretty cynical. Okay, because
there
for
were
me,
a lot of people just, commenting on the story saying like, is this really news? Like,
yeah, like
we're
shocker.
Not really that surprised.
Yeah.
So, you're not the only one, Derek.
Look like a duck. It quacked like a
and
duck.
It's driving a Maybach. It's probably rich.
It's
probably one rich duck.
It's using private jets like an Uber.
Yeah, that's one rich duck.
Hey, that boy Brian Houston, a big stepper, boy.
If it looks like a duck, it quacked like a duck, and it rolls by on a gold-plated skateboard. It's probably
skateboard.
It's probably a pastor.
Jerry Falwell, Brian Houston, Young Thug. They are just chilling at the club, kicking it, bro, in Australia.
Using PJs like Ubers. Just like
PJs like Uber. I'm jealous.
All right. Okay. So mean people save money. The study reveal. All right. There you go. All right. What's the last thing you got?
The last thing I want to share is a new single from Lauren Daigle called Thank God I Do. It's the first song from her upcoming self-titled album, which is actually being released in two parts. The first 10 songs will drop in May and the other 10 will come out later this year. But we got a snippet of the song right now.
It's her first single on Atlantic Records. She signed a big deal with a big label, so good for her. It should be a pretty
congrats.
Massive project. Yeah,
I'm excited.
She's been milking that last album long enough. I'm ready for some new music from Lauren Daigle.
Right,
and she could still fill an arena with that last album. She's like, why rush the next one?
It's a good album,
but we're ready for some new Lauren Daigle music.
Congrats to her,
for real.
Yeah, congrats to her. And she's a sweet girl. I met her a couple of times, and she's always been really nice, down to earth. So you know, it's good to see people like that win. You know,
for the first time at a Hillsong United after party in Chicago. Jesse, you were with me.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
Yeah.
And there is no after party like a Hillsong United after party. Let me just tell you that.
In hindsight.
Everyone get skateboards as a gift?
It was at a club in downtown Chicago. And That's where he met Lauren Daigle for the first time. But anyway,
man, oh, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, bro, we need people like Hillsong to keep the party going. Bro. That's what I'm saying. We need people like Hillsong to keep the party going, bro. Like, hey, they trying to hate, bro. But look, let us live, bro. We trying to throw out ones just like Young Thug, bro. That's what we trying to do. We're trying to throw out ones, bro.
That'll do it for Relevant Buzz. You can see those stories and a lot more over at relevantmagazine.com. Make sure to make it part of your daily web browsing and follow us on all the socials for the latest. Thanks a lot, Emily.
I want my watch.
Cartier or AP?
Hey, I want a bust down AP.
AP, man, what? 250K?
I need a bust down AP. Yeah. Hey, run it up.
There you go. All right. Hey, Emily, we'll see you later in the show for the magazine preview.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Anna of the North. Listening to Drama. The song is 3 a.m.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is Anna of the North. She's in the new spring issue of Relevant, which you will hear more about in the next segment. But we wanted to have her as our guest today on the podcast to kind of celebrate the new issue. Great timing, right? And she's one of our favorite indie artists. Her full name is Anna Lotterud. She's a Norwegian singer-songwriter. She just dropped her third album. It's called Crazy Life. She opened up to us about creating a story with every album and how letting go of expectations allows more freedom and fun with her music. Here's part of our conversation with Anna of the North. Was I the only one?
I feel like there's so many songs on the album that are very honest and vulnerable. Was it a little like nerve-wracking to be that way, or was it sort of like therapeutic?
I think for me, it's just I'm a really open person and I talk a lot, and I'm not like scared of talking about feelings and all. I know I'm really lucky in that way that I how do you say it, that I'm either my problem is maybe saying too much. I guess so. So no, not at all. I feel like it was it really like helped me processing things and just like it's just different listening to yourself saying and singing it and like listening back again, and you kind of like you realize that I feel like a lot of songs is just like been like I've had the need to write them, kind of like I don't really know why those words come, but when I listen to the song after a while I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. So definitely music is really good though for like processing stuff, so I guess that's a big part of it. Take me back to where we started. We don't have to talk about it. You and
I, we know what's up. Here's a mess. Is it hard though to like narrow down to just like a certain set of songs?
Definitely, and you want like some songs to be, you know, like for me at least, like I can only speak from my own perspective, but you want some songs that are like mellow, some songs that are upbeat. You want to like have the entire journey there, and you want to have like the lullaby, and then you want to have the you know, like the you want to have like all the songs in there too. But at the same time, you want them to be on the same kind of vibe. But yeah, no, it's hard, but I think at the same time it makes sense. And then it's really sad for the songs that never made it, and that's why I'm really happy about the deluxe version, because there are like Swirl and Try My Best that will be released soon. It's like it was always been one of my favorite songs for this writing period in my life, and I remember just listening to it again and again and again, and I would have been so sad if the world didn't hear it. And so I'm just really excited that deluxe versions are a thing now.
That too. It's like one of the joys in life is getting to listen like new music. Well, speaking of new music, you're about to release the deluxe version for Crazy Life, which has, I know, the new song Swirl. What yeah. else can we expect from it?
There's some new songs and a lot of old songs. I don't know. The deluxe version, it seems to be like a new way of promoting an album, I guess. So that's what we're doing. So I guess putting some new tunes in there, hoping that, I don't know, the real answer is hoping that those will drag more people to listen to the Crazy Life album. I guess like that's it. But I do like, I wrote a lot of songs, and I felt like I've always done like 11 songs albums, and I think all of them are 11 songs, I might be wrong, and I felt with Crazy Life I had so many songs, so many demos, and I just couldn't fit them all. And I also think that too many songs on an album can disturb, kind of like, you know, take attention from the other song, and I wanted every song to shine. And there's a story being told as well, like Crazy Life starts with Birdsing, which is a song in the morning where you wake up, and yeah, and then it ends with Let Go, which is when you're like, or for me at least, how I picture that song is like you're just sometimes like you, at the end of the day, and something has happened, or you can overthink it, but like sometimes you just have to let it go. So it's like it's a story from first song till the end. And I guess with the deluxe album, I feel like it was room for more songs, but they didn't like to kind of like, you know, Crazy Life first edition was like that was the story, and now there's like more songs from the period of writing, I guess.
That was Anna of the North. Make sure to check out her new album, Crazy Life. It's out now. And read our conversation with her. Read more of that conversation in the spring issue of Relevant, which you will hear more about after this break. Listening to Brevin Kim, the song is Ghost. Well, I told you at the beginning of the show we were going to tell you about the new spring digital issue of Relevant, and I am a man of my word. Please welcome back to the episode our managing editor, Downtown Emily Brown. Hey, Emily.
Hey, y'all.
The rest of the cast is taking a well-deserved pee break. No, coffee break. Coffee break. And they'll be back for feedback in the next segment. So we are going to just steal a couple of minutes. Don't fast forward. Don't. Give Emily your undivided attention.
Please.
It's very exciting. Our spring issue has none other than Michael B. Jordan on the cover. He's so hot right now. He's everywhere right now. You know, he made his directorial debut with the smash hit Creed 3 a couple of weeks ago. And that's what we talked to him about as well. He is in Relevant. And you know, we get a behind the scenes look. We not only talk to him, but other stars in the movie. And it's a really fascinating story. It's a lot deeper than you would think with it just being a boxing movie, you know.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I binge watched all of the Creed movies and Rocky movies because I really wanted to see this one. That I binge watched it, or that I hadn't seen any before.
That you binge watched a sports series, a sports franchise.
Yeah,
but
yeah, imagine how I felt binge watching it. But I will say this one was really good because it was not just like a normal boxing movie. Like, obviously it was a fight, yes, but there really was like some deeper emotions and like topics going on. So I really enjoyed it. If you're not a sports movie fan, I get it, but I want to say you should give this one a try.
Right. I mean, we're not sitting here just shilling for the movie, but the story itself, like Michael B. talks about, like the reason why he did this is like it was deeply personal for him. Like there was a deeper reason why he wanted to tell this story, and it's a different story for the franchise. Here's a clip of the conversation we had with him.
It's been just growing inside for a really long time since I talked to Ryan, you know, seeing that representation, knowing what it was like, you know, for him back on Fruitvale Station, him telling me that he believed that I could do it. And I think that trust and that those expectations from him, you know, definitely, you know, made me think about my own confidence. If I, you know, when was the right time for me to step behind the camera? And I think all roads kind of led to the opportunity, the third movie installment. And I know the character so well in the story, had a vision for where I wanted to go. And I felt like it was the perfect time for me.
Go read more of it. Cover story. Relevant. Okay. What else is in the issue? There's a ton of stuff. Let's see. Mixing it up. You just heard our conversation with Anna of the North. She is in the new issue as well, obviously. That's why she's on today's podcast, to kind of celebrate her in the new issue. Awesome artist. We talked to one of our heroes in the faith, Beth Moore. She kind of did the press circuit in the last couple of weeks. You know, she has this very, staggering would be the word, memoir that just came out telling her life story and telling things that she's never shared before. Emily, you got the chance to sit down with her and have a really vulnerable conversation, and it turned into an unbelievable profile in the piece. Great job.
Yeah, I was so excited to speak with Beth. Like we said, like, she's a personal hero of my own faith, and just getting to talk with her, it was probably one of the most vulnerable conversations that I've had since being with Relevant, but just a really good conversation and so encouraging just for myself. And she had a lot to say to our readers, a lot of things that she wanted to really share with them. So it was really great getting to talk with her and getting to put that in the magazine.
Were you vulnerable with her? Or was she vulnerable with you?
So it actually ended up being both. As I was re-listening to the interview, I forgot there were both times where I got emotional and she also got emotional. So it was a vulnerable couple minutes there.
Did you open up about your fear of spiders?
I do not have a fear of spiders. No, we talked. I don't want to give anything away. I want you to read the story.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you got to read the story.
Yeah, you'll see when you read the story. But to clarify, I do not have a fear of spiders. I think they're actually very friendly.
Tell the listener this. Did you put little commentary in the piece like in a script where it's like Emily weeps? Like, did you like italicize stuff like that in the article?
Unfortunately, I didn't, but now I really regret it. Is it too late to go back and change it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too late. It's out. Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Missed opportunity. All right. We also talked to one of our favorite bands, a big new album out by Colony House.
Yeah. It was really fun to talk with them. You know, their new album is basically a love letter to Tennessee. And so it was perfect timing for me to talk to them since I just moved here. So it was a fun conversation and a really fun album. Yeah.
know, hearing that, I would have thought Love Letter to Tennessee, there would have been a lot more banjo, a lot more like twang.
I think it's like the new Tennessee or something.
Okay.
They brought it into this century.
Country Bear Jamboree was in my head when you said Love Letter to Tennessee, kind of like a postcard, you know. Andy Griffith Show, kind of like front porch, hoedown type. Oh, well.
Now, that would be an album, but that is not this album.
That's not this album. Yeah. All right. Let's see. There's a lot of music in this issue. I mean, a lot of music in this issue. We'll get to more of the artists. But one of the movies that shocked everybody when we got the invitation to go to the set of this film being shot, we did not know that it would become the breakout like record setting success that it was. But we were on the set at Jesus Revolution and kind of have a behind the scenes look at the surprise hit. I mean, it is a legit hit by every measurable. It's still doing well in the box office. Well after its release, it's made 45 million plus just here in the US, still in the theaters, doing well. Jesus Revolution, we have the inside story of that.
Yeah, it is really shocking then since it's been released. I feel like every week there's like a new story about like some record it broke for like Christian films. So it was really great getting to talk with the actors and hearing how they brought the story to life. It was also interesting to figure out who had heard the story of Jesus Revolution before they started filming. So it was just fun talking with the cast, seeing them, bring it to the big screen.
Yeah. We talked to one of our favorite kind of not up and coming. They've up and came. They're getting big time. House Fires, one of our favorite worship groups out now. Here's a clip of their new album. You definitely don't want to miss that article. Great artist.
Yeah, I was really excited to talk with House Fires. I have been a huge fan of them for years. A lot of their music has gotten me through some difficult times. So it was great just speaking with them and kind of learning how to start my own house fire.
I literally just bought a fire extinguisher because I realized I did not have one for years and how vulnerable that probably made my house. So I am now prepared to put out a house fire if one was to start.
I'm going to start one. So be ready.
We also talked to great indie artist Royal Otis is in the issue. Here's a clip, their new album. Don't miss that article as well. We also pick 10 products that you do not want to miss that all give back, that are socially conscious. We don't like consumerism, but we like conscious consumerism. We like anti-consumerism. We think we can do it the right way. Here's 10 products that do that. You don't want to miss that list. It's clickable, interactive, helpful. Go for it. And we talked to Fits in the Tantrums. They've been in the magazine, I think, twice now. We love them. They've been a great. They're huge. They're the biggest band in the issue by far. They're huge and getting bigger every time they release a new album. Here's a clip of their new one. Sometimes it feels like a feather. Sometimes it feels like a boulder. Sometimes the world makes it easy. Sometimes it falls on your shoulders. We stay forever. Don't want to miss that article. And last but definitely not least, you guys know we talked about it here on the podcast last month, but Emily went to Asbury, spent time with people there, leaders there, students there, and we have the story of the Asbury outpouring from a front lines perspective. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I got to go and speak with a lot of students and faculty and administrators and, you know, just really see for myself what everything I'd seen online. And it was really honestly really hard to put into words, but I found a way to do it. And it's been really cool getting to not only be there, but then to kind of see in the week since how it's just impacted and changed a lot of people's lives. And so I was really excited to sit down and just be able to tell like the full story of what's happened and what is continuing to happen.
And we were like mm-hmm. biting our tongues too. Like you came back the day after the last public gathering, or that you came back right. actually that night. You were at the last public gathering, was your last time there. And, you know, obviously in the coming days, there was a lot of confusion about what's next. Da, da, da. And you had talked to the leaders and we kind of mm-hmm. knew what was going on and what the plan was or the lack of a plan. And we were kind of like biting our tongues because we wanted to put all of that in this article. And so if you want to know the full picture of what happened beginning to end at Asbury, it is in this article and it's great. And you should check it out. I'm excited about what's going on college campuses right now. It is organic mm-hmm. and awesome and of God. And it's exciting to see what's stirring right now. More of it, please. Okay. Well, the spring issue of Relevant is out now. Okay. How do you engage it? How do you find it? It's pretty easy. Go to relevantmagazine.com. There's a tab there called magazine. Click it. There's everything. It's free. We have the ad supported version just right there. You can just engage it. If you want a beautiful enhanced print-esque experience with a bunch of extras ad free, you can get our tablet enhanced edition as a part of Relevant Plus. You can find out more about Relevant Plus and get it right there by clicking the Relevant Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com. With Relevant Plus, you not only get the magazine, but you get this podcast ad-free unlimited access to relevantmagazine.com, exclusive subscriber podcast, and more. It takes us so much longer to make that magazine, that digital magazine. Please subscribe to Relevant Plus to make our team's efforts worth it. We put a lot of time into the enhanced edition. It is beautiful. If you got our print magazine back in the day, it is just as pretty as the print edition was, but it's even better because it's interactive and things move around and you can watch stuff and click stuff and it's awesome. So, all right, spring issue of Relevant, Michael B. Jordan on the cover. Don't miss it. Thanks a lot, Emily. Great job to you and the team. Stay tuned. Up next, the cast comes back and it's your feedback. Listening to Overcoats. The song is New Suede Shoes. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Okay, well, last week, if you heard the show, we got talking about the Scandoval, the Bravo scandal that had the internet in a chokehold for a couple of days. And it got us talking about trash reality television and the guilty pleasure TV that some of us like to partake in from time to time. What was your guilty pleasure TV, Jesse? I forget. What do you watch?
Oh, I watched.
Oh, you watched that
weird alien shows.
Like
documentaries. I'm doing, you know, quote, generous air yeah. quotes with, you know, people whose titles like UFOlogist and, you know, noted speaker. And it's like, where's that guy speaking? You know, like,
and that's the guy with his hair that's like blasted to the side. Like, dude, look like he stuck his finger in the electric
exactly.
socket.
Exactly. He's the most credible of all of them. Yeah. All of the other ones, like, you read mm-hmm. what they put up at the bottom, you know, it's like the name. There was one guy, and he was so polished on one of these shows that I, and he was like the primary expert doing like sort of the VO, but they kept cutting back to him at like his like research lab or whatever. And I looked the guy up because I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. He's an actor. Like it was scripted and, but that's the level. That's the level. That's all I need though, is some voiceover and some wild speculation and I'm in.
Okay. Y'all want to know my guilty TV show?
Please.
I cannot stop.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for the next season if they're going to have one. It's Sister Wives.
That's what Emily's was. She was talking about that. That's hers.
I love Sister Wives so much. I follow all of them on Instagram. I know what's happening. Like, I'm just so in. and it's so weird. And I can't stop.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So Emily and I both watch guilty pleasure reality TV, but it's different guilty pleasure reality TV. I watch the Bravo shows. She watches the TLC shows, like Sister Wives. It's like two different lanes. Uh-huh. Anyway, all right. We asked you what your guilty pleasure TV shows are. You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. Here's a few of your replies.
Well, Karen says for her, it's Pawn Stars. She says it's an antique roadshow for the rest of us and a very popular meme. There's nothing guilty about Pawn Stars, okay? I've actually visited the Pawn Stars.
It's fake, man.
I know. I was there when they were filming. I was an extra in an episode.
No way.
I promise.
Wow. You were not.
I'm not making this up. Years ago, this was like at the height of Pawn Stars. We had to wait outside in a line to get in. And so we're waiting. And as we finally got in, because they only let a couple people in there at a time. And as we're in there, they were like, all right, everyone, we got to clear it out. We're about to shoot a scene. We need a couple extras. And my buddy was actually buying something, like a piece of memorabilia or something. And we got to hang out while they did a couple takes with someone like walking into, I mean, they did three or four takes. You know what I mean? But I have there's no guilt. Sure, it's staged, but who cares? It is fun to do. Have a little history lesson on weird little musket balls that you found in your great grandfather's attic or whatever.
What isn't staged these days anyways? I mean, come on.
Everything's staged.
Yeah. Who cares?
Literally.
When I found out that House Hunters is fake, it just, I haven't watched it since because it just ruined it for me. To find out that 90% of the time, the person has already bought their house.
100%.
And they're just pretending to tour the houses.
Yeah,
That the other two houses are just like somebody just opened their house and they're probably not even on the market. Yeah. That's just crazy to me. I'm like, why am I watching this fake show now? They're not. I haven't watched it since.
It's all fake, Cameron, though, Cameron. It's been fake since Pimp My Ride, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew that.
Live your life like me where you think everything's fake and then you're never let down. Everything's fake and then you're never let down.
But the most disturbing part of it is, especially on House Hunters, is the manufactured arguments among the, especially if it's like a couple house hunting.
Yeah.
And every house the guy's into, he's like, oh, this, and it's like always like the biggest space, the most prominent space in the house. And there's like, the guy's like, oh, this is perfect for the man cave. The beer fridge will go right here. My sports cards will go here. And you know, his spouse is always getting, if they already own the house, you're telling me they're making that dispute up every time, every one of these houses they're going
in. They are. They are. And they're running it up for clout and hopefully a little money.
Yeah.
But yes, this is what entertainment, even marketing is like, even on TikTok, we're marketed to Instagram, we're marketed to around the clock, but it's meant to not look like marketing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's what we're into. We live in a simulation. Well, like we've created a simulation for ourselves.
I've at least seen one that seemed real because the husband, it was a husband and wife who were purchasing a home, and his primary demand was that this home could be outfitted. I promise this is true. I've never looked it up before, but I encourage listeners to. His primary demand for the home was that it had a good layout for an elaborate series of cat tubes. And these were like hamster tubes. Because he had a bunch of cats and he wanted them to
be married?
Yeah. And that was when they were looking at houses, he's like, I don't think the cat tubes were going to work in this layout. That was their metric.
Amazing,
and it was his demand. And sure enough, they did like fast forward after they picked the home and we're like, you know, 2 months later, the house is straight up elaborate cat tubes everywhere. They had one going to the decat attached garage. Like there were cat tubes across the yard. So you're telling me that's fake?
I love it, bro. I love it.
The other thing I never understood about House Hunters was like this couple just moved to DC. She's a teacher. He manages a bar and their budget is $1.7 million.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Where's she teaching?
Afford this
what
house,
kind of bar is he working at?
Yeah. Right. Where is she teaching at, bro? What bar is this dude working at, bro? I used to always think that, and then I'm gonna tell you the other one. Now I haven't really watched a lot of reality TV in a minute, but Man versus Wild would trip me out. Like, bro, how are they dropping this man in the middle of these things? And then it's like, you know, he's running with a camera crew. So I one day it just hit me. I'm like, there's people filming this dude. He's not filming himself. So it's like they just giving him granola bars and stuff during the break. Like, I'm thinking this man was suffering. And I'm thinking this man was using his Tide money to oh, I'm sorry, my bad. I think this man was suffering, bro, out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In the frigid cold, and they just giving this man a blanket when they stop shooting. Like, that's not Man versus Wild, bro. I could have did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're not.
No, they are.
You're stepping on Jesse's toes now. Jesse's a purist. He don't want to believe that about Bear Grylls.
I have nothing but respect.
Bear Grylls drinks his own pee for no reason.
It's to educate us. Listen, sometimes he's not going to risk his life, but he can still give a powerful illustration. Okay, it's like a sermon illustration. All right, like the pastor doesn't actually need to go lose a sheep in the woods and go find it. He can just use it as an illustration.
So it's a big illustration, is what you're saying? Because I was thinking he was getting dropped in the middle of the Amazon jungle.
Doesn't matter.
And he was fending his way to the helicopter. And it's always dramatic. He takes off by himself on the helicopter, grabs the rope or whatever. It's like, no, why don't they show the real thing? The private jet landing from Hillsong and then all of the crew hopping on the private jet and taking off. Like, why don't they just drop that?
It's the illusion of Hollywood. But guess what? If you're lost in the Amazon, at least I know conceivably, if I come across the carcass of a wildebeest, how to field dress it and sleep in there until help arrives. At least conceptually, you know?
You're prepared.
Dog, the only thing that I knew, that only thing I learned from Man vs. Wild is that your urine is sterile. That's it.
Okay. Well, and you know what? It just may save your life one day, Derek. I hope it doesn't come to that. I'm saying, maybe you think differently.
I saw this man eat a sheep's eyeball. I was like, why is he eating this for no? Like, there has to be something.
It is a reason, Derek. In case you're stranded in a sheep infested, you know, wilderness. And the only thing,
forget all the meat on the sheep. Just go straight
for the fire. The only option you have is to gouge out the eyes.
You had to just eat a sheep's eyeball.
The only option you have to survive is to gouge out the eyes of a sheep and eat them right there. You know it's possible, you know? Anyway, I just shared a clip with you guys of like JB Smoove and comedians. I've never seen this, but it appears there's some sort of show that HGTV does where comedians watch House Hunters and give live commentary. And it's JB Smoove watching the cat tube episode.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I did not make this up. There was a cat tube episode and it, you know, it's out in the wild for everyone.
Okay.
That is really funny.
I love JB Smoove.
I cannot recommend it, but on Hulu, Mel Brooks, they did a History of the World Part 2.
Yeah.
I can't recommend it because it's off color and language and stuff like that. It's rated R. It's a hard R, let me just tell you. But they did a story of Jesus and the disciples, and JB Smoove is one of the disciples. I think he plays Luke. It's hilarious. I mean, that part's hilarious. Him as a disciple.
All right.
Yeah. That's worth the price of admission right there. You can fast forward the other parts. All right. But anyway.
All right. I'm going to check it out.
Okay. I have one. Several people mentioned WWE, like pro wrestling. And they're like,
that's not a guilty pleasure.
I mean, they said it was.
You're a grown adult.
No,
that's not a guilty. WWE is top tier television. For all of us to consume.
It's also
of all ages. It's an all ages television.
Wow.
Like, what are you talking about? WWE is it. I ain't watched it in a minute, but WWE, last time I watched it, I enjoyed
it. Fun fact, when I was a child, my dad took me to a wrestling thing at the Coliseum in our town.
I'm jealous.
And the Von Erichs, remember them?
I'm jealous.
Was he competing?
Mm-hmm.
They were there.
What?
Uh-huh. And it was like me and my dad's little outing.
Hold on, wait a second. What is the team? The
isn't that
tag
their
team?
Name?
Who was it?
Von Erich or something?
I have no idea what you're
talking. Y'all don't know this?
The McMahons?
No, this is a long time ago. Jesse, I don't know, you know, right?
Was it the 70s?
I gotta be honest. 80s? This doesn't sound like a W. This sounds like maybe a WWE off-brand.
Off-brand?
Yeah.
I'm going to look for that.
Yo, that was EWF. Like, that
was, okay.
Was it at like a VFW hall, or did it seem
it
like
was a sanctuary? It was a small town, and it was at the Coliseum in Brownwood, Texas. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know who they were.
Vince McMahon was not in Brownwood, Texas.
No, I didn't say McMahon. Right. Something else.
It was Hulk Logan. Like, you know, it was just
Hulk Logan. I went, the Amazing Warrior,
Macho Man Dandy Savage.
I was never into wrestling, but when I was a little kid, went with friends. It was his birthday or whatever. Mm-hmm. We saw Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man Randy Savage, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah,
like it was that era. So I remember it. It was pretty iconic. Era. Yeah, it was kind of iconic. Yeah. I remember. But did you hear? They just announced this week. You know, these are staged. These are pre-done choreographed fights.
No.
And they are working right now. WWE is working on, they're working with DraftKings to have betting on matches.
On staged fights?
That? Yes.
That's the biggest hustle of all time.
Yeah.
Who sets the odds?
What they're working out right now, what they're proposing is that they would work with an accounting firm that they would have the script sealed by the accounting firm, that nobody would know the results other than the two performers. And then they would be verified that it's not leaked. And that if once it's verified, it could be bet upon and whatever, blah, 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 blah. That seems ripe for corruption, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
I bet Martha Stewart's involved in this.
How do you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Who said that the NBA was staged? Hold on. No, NFL was staged. Arian Foster said the NFL is staged. So look, hey, everything is scripted. That's what the name of the show should be. Everything is scripted. Ooh, like, yeah. Everything is scripted.
Well, I'm
everything scripted.
You know, Andre the Very Large Man was at Jamie's event. I'm pretty sure it was the legit. It sounds
Andre the Big Guy.
Yeah. Listen, my dad was just trying to make all my wishes come true by taking me to a WWE thing, but it was probably, you know, the circus coming through or something.
What the Undertaker would be like the grave digger.
The grave digger, absolutely.
The mortician.
Andre the Big Guy versus the grave digger.
Yeah. The mortician.
Oh, man. All right. There's more where that came from. Go check it out. You guys watch a lot of trash TV just like I do. Okay, it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Okay, well, at the beginning of the show, it was brought up that today, our recording day, happens to be Michael Scott's birthday, and mine as well. Got us thinking about birthdays. So for this week's question, we want to know, like Michael Scott, we want to know your worst birthday. That's it. We want to know your worst birthday. When
share your pain with all of us. Share your pain publicly with the world, and we're going to talk about it.
Yep, that's what we want.
How many listeners do we have on this podcast? Hundreds of thousands of listeners. I could have listened to your pain or your birthday when you were six.
I have a pretty painful one. What? It was my eighth birthday. We're at the bowling alley, which was, you know, we sent out invitation to all these kids. And I had so many anticipation. Anyway, all of them came, but my neighbor kid friend ran out on the slick wood, fell back, his hand in the ball, slipped, broke a finger. It didn't interrupt the birthday. We kept going. But man, it was a real buzzkill.
That was
for
his
me,
worst birthday.
Because he got a lot of attention and it was my birthday just because he broke his hand on the bowling ball.
So I traumatized one of my friends growing up. We were in college. He would bring this up literally every year. But on his seventh birthday, I blew his birthday candles out.
And he still had it up. Wow. Wow.
But they were trick candles, so they kept coming back. So I kept blowing them out.
That's
Tim
funny.
Cox, shout out to Tim.
Tim
Trubin,
like, you stole my wish, man. I wish to be a professional rapper. Thanks a lot, bro.
That's funny. All right. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or keep an eye out on our IG stories. We'll post it there as well. And we'll read our favorites on next week's show. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Anna of the North for joining us today. Again, make sure to check out her new album, Crazy Life. It is out now. And read more of our conversation with her in the spring issue of Relevant. How can you find it? Click the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. The ad-supported version is right there for your reading and sharing pleasure. Sharing, sharing, sharing. Tell your friends. Share the content. The Michael B. Jordan piece is amazing. The Asbury piece is amazing. The Beth Moore piece is amazing. They're really good. You should check out the issue. If you want an ad-free, beautifully designed, enhanced multimedia experience, we have that too. Just sign up for Relevant Plus. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and it's the best way to experience our content. There's no clutter. And there's a lot of extras. So go check that out as well. You can find out more at the Relevant Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com. Hey, if you like the music, you know, and the breaks and stuff, check out our Heard on the Relevant Podcast playlist on Spotify. We have that. We have an indie playlist, a worship playlist, a hip hop playlist that we update pretty regularly. But the Heard on the Relevant Podcast one we update every week with all the music that you hear on the show. We have other updates. Make sure to follow us on other socials. Check out relevantmagazine.com. We're covering the latest at the intersection of faith and culture every day. You know, all the stuff I say every week. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
And I'm Derek Miner. But before we go, I have to give a shout out to my peoples out in the Pacific Northwest, Young Life, and my homegirl, Kimberly. I was out doing an event out there, and it's because she's a listener of the show. She's been listening for forever, and I told her I was going to shout her out. So shout out to y'all. There's no camp like a Young Life camp. When I pulled up, there was literally a guy dressed in a Mario suit and a girl dressed like Princess Peach, and they were like, it was crazy. So shout out to y'all. Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Are they the ones that gave you the Nashville hot chicken in Washington and it wasn't good?
No, they did not. But they did have me driving for an hour and a half with no cell service into the mountains. And I felt like Bear Grylls for like 5 minutes. But that was Tacoma, Washington. Listen, do not eat hot chicken in Tacoma, Washington. That is not hot chicken.
Derek's letting y'all know that right now. I pulled off the road at the first sheep I saw and ate his eyeballs, just in case. Just in case.
Well, Derek, I know you're coming to Texas this weekend. We're going to treat you right. We're going to treat you right. You're coming to Texas
this weekend. Okay, please.
We got you.
As a matter of fact, what I'm doing while I'm on the road, I'm actually doing recaps of the food that I eat, because that AJ's chicken situation or that hot chicken situation messed me up so bad that I'm like, I gotta show people where the good food is at in state to state. So I can't wait to come to Austin, because I'm trying to find out what we got in Austin that's popping for sure.
Guy Fieri and Derek Miner are doing the same.
Can you imagine?
I'd watch.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives, but bro, we just. Oh, yeah, it's on. It's going down.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
What did I do? They put a period at the end of this text.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.